wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God, I thank you so much for the gift of being in community with others. God, I thank you for the capacity that we have to come together for the transformation of the world. And I pray this morning, God, as I speak, that you might somehow speak through me, that you would give each of us ears to hear exactly what you want us to hear, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed. God, that we might be willing to be pushed a little this morning. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit might come in such a way that I get out of the way and you do what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm really excited about this new series we're launching this morning. We do series here at Crossroads that go anywhere from 3 weeks to 5 or 6 weeks as we try to dive more deeply into a concept or a topic. And this series is called Unsung Heroes. And we're looking at unsung heroes of the Bible. It's funny. Many people, if they've read the Bible, know the stories of the people that everybody sort of raises up. But what about the people that are in there? The people, many of whom are unnamed, who do really transformative things. The people who make a big impact, and maybe they're not named because they're a woman. Maybe they're not named because they're not a major character in the story. But there are these people who have a huge impact on what happens in the story. And that's what we're going to do during this series. We're going to look at these different unsung heroes. All of them happen to be women. Throughout the Bible. And this first one especially is someone who's not named. Now, there's a couple of goals in this series. I like to sort of give you, here's where I'm hoping we're headed. The first goal in this series is that we would find out who these heroes are and what they do that actually makes a big impact. The second would be that you might be able to see yourself as a hero. Sure, you're not in some major role, maybe. Maybe you don't run a company. Maybe you're not the president of the HOA, which is a really powerful role in most communities. But you can make a big impact on the world. And I want you to see that in these stories. I want to look for these unsung heroes and let you see I too can be one of those folks. I want to start today telling you a story. Pro quarterback Patrick Mahomes had just limped his way through a last-minute game-winning drive in the 2023 AFC Championship game. And he did this, and everybody was excited, and it was a really powerful moment. And then he said something. He gave credit for what happened to someone else. He said, "Julie was the reason I was the guy I was on the field today." On Twitter, he puts out over all this stuff, "Julie," and everybody's like, "Who's Julie? Who's Julie? Why was Julie such an important person?" He's talking about Julie Fowler, who was the assistant person who took care of the athletes on the team. She wasn't even the main one. She was the assistant, but she had one job as the assistant athletic director. She had one role, most important job in the 2022-2023 season, which was to get him back after a sprained ankle. That was her one role. Her main focus the entire season was to get him back to playing, to get Patrick Mahomes back to being an incredible player so that he would be ready for a spot in the Super Bowl. So he comes out of that game. He's hobbling. Things are beautiful because they've won, and everybody is excited. I mean, he was fantastic in the game, but it was all because of Julie. Most people in the world had never heard of Julie before. Now listen, the team had heard of her, because the team knew that she was really the one who pushed things through. She was the one that made this happen. They could not have been the team that they were without Julie. So he went out of her way to praise her, to give her thanks. I mean, this guy has a contract of nearly $500 million, and he may as well have given her the game ball. I mean, isn't that cool? She is the unsung hero who he sings her name at the end of the season. There's so many Julies in the world. You are likely a Julie. You are likely someone who's made an impact in someone else's life, and maybe you don't get noticed. Maybe you go into a meeting, and you've done all the background work, and then they get up and they present, and all the praise goes to the person who is presenting. Maybe, just maybe, you've been in your family, and you've been the backbone of that family the whole time. My wife often says, she's not here. She'll be here at 11, so I can say this now. My wife often says that I'm the public figure in the family, yet I have to be really honest. I would not be who I am if we were not in partnership together. That's the gift of these unsung heroes in our life. They push things. So I'm going to look today at an unsung hero in the Bible that comes from the book of 1 Kings. It opens up with a character some of you may have heard of, you may not have, but this character's name is Elijah. Elijah is a prophet, and Elijah would do anything in the world to help the people know that God loves them. In fact, just before this happens, Elijah has had this interaction. He's made this wager with all of these other prophets of a different God, prophets of the God of Baal. And he gets them to make a bet and a wager that their God can't do a thing that his God can do, and his God ultimately does it. And it's a really powerful moment in Scripture. I mean, this is a big moment because all these prophets say, we believe in your God. It's a really interesting story. But he's not our unsung hero today. He finds himself in the beginning of chapter 17 of 1 Kings. He's in a time of famine in the desert. Famine, not enough food, not enough water, not enough resources. And he is really hungry and really thirsty. And he goes to this brook and the brook dries up and he no longer has things that he needs. Have you ever been really, really thirsty? Have you found yourself really thirsty? I went with our students to Hershey Park on Thursday, and I got out of the park, and I feel like I could have drank like 10 gallons of water. Like, I was so thirsty. And it was funny, as I was sitting there in that moment, I was thinking of this story that we were going to talk about on Sunday, and I was thinking, Elijah's probably 20,000 times more thirsty than I was, because he hadn't had the resources they needed in a while. And God says to Elijah, go to this town, go to Zarephath, and I want you to meet a widow there. She doesn't get a name. She's just a widow. Go to the widow of Zarephath. It's a widow. She has a son. She's our unsung hero today. And I want you to look at what happens with her in this story. It says, the Lord's word came to Elijah. Get up and go to Zarephath near Sidon and stay there. I've ordered a widow there to take care of you. Elijah left and he went to Zarephath. As he came to the town gate, he saw a widow collecting sticks. He called out to her, please get a little water for me in this cup so I can drink. She went to get him some water. He then said to her, please get me a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied. She said, I don't have any food, only a handful of flour in a jar and a bit of oil in a bottle. Look at me. I'm collecting 2 sticks so that I can make some food for myself and my son. We'll eat the last of the food and then die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go and do what God said. Only make a little loaf of bread for me first, then bring it to me. You can make yourself something. You can make something for yourself and your son after that. This is what Israel's God, the Lord, says. The jar of flour won't decrease, and the bottle of oil won't run out until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. The widow went and did what Elijah said. So the widow, Elijah, and the widow's household ate for many days. I mean, this is a story, right? How many people, this is an honest moment, raise your hand, knew about the widow of Zarephath and what she did before this morning? There's 2 of you. 3 of you. Great. 3 of you. Powerful, important person in the story. I mean, think about this story for just a moment. Let's break it down. Elijah shows up in this town and he sees this woman collecting sticks. Now, how in the world did he know she was the widow? It doesn't tell us. How did he know she was a widow? It doesn't tell us. She doesn't have a name tag on. There's no t-shirt. But he figures out she's the widow that he's supposed to connect with. And he asks her for some water. He's in a bad place. I mean, he is so thirsty. He's having one of those moments. Imagine moving through dry and desert-like land, there being a famine, and she gets him some water. But that's not enough. He's not just thirsty. He's hungry. He's incredibly hungry. So he asks her for bread, and she says, I'm so sorry. I don't have any bread. I don't even have bread. A basic human food. I don't have any bread. She does have just a little bit of flour left, just enough for her and her son to have one more meal. And then she says, I'm going to die. I mean, that tells you how bad the famine is. That tells you how bad the situation is. And she says, actually, I've just got enough to make it through the night. He says, make me some bread. I mean, I think that's kind of a bold thing to say to somebody who says they just have enough flour to feed them and their son one more time. He goes, make me a little loaf. Make me a little loaf of bread. So she makes it, and nothing happens to her jar. It's still as full as it was before she made the bread. It doesn't decrease. And it says then her and her son had food for days, and Elijah had food for days. In fact, the promise was they would have food until the Lord sent water again, which means they would have food until provision came again for things to grow, wheat and vegetables and all those things. And I remember reading this story the other day, and I said, wait a second, that's not how flour works. I don't know about y'all, but if I use flour, I have to go get more. But maybe this story isn't about flour at all. Maybe it's not a story about making bread. Maybe this story is about something completely different. Maybe it's about trust. What do I mean by that? The woman tells Elijah, I only got a little bit. I got a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. Her plan was for this to be their very last meal, the very last time that her and her son could come together, and then they would enter a period of starvation. It was famine season. There was nothing that could provide more food for her. She had lost hope. And Elijah brings her this hope from a God who loves her and says, do what God told you. God will care for you. He's hungry. He's thirsty. And even in her own unknown future, she shares with him. Why does she do this? Well, maybe she felt a nudge from God to care for the stranger. Maybe that's what's happening in this moment. God nudged her and said, you got to do something for the stranger. She was in a place where things seemed hopeless, and yet she trusted God that if God asked her to do this for Elijah, God would provide for her and her son. This is a deep act of obedience. Maybe, just maybe, if I do this thing that God's asking me to do, then at the end of the day, God will provide for me. God told me to do it, so I did it. God nudged me. How many times has God nudged me to do something that I'm like, oh, heck no. It's too much. Where I come up with excuses like, I don't have enough flour, I don't have enough this, and God's pushing me to do something. But she hears this push, and she's obedient to God. I want us to think for a minute. There are so many people in our own county here, in this state, in our country, who are hungry. There are people who are unhoused, and maybe we're looking at our own finances right now, and we're going, things are tight. People losing jobs, future seems unknown, things are too tight, and maybe God is saying to us, be generous. Take care of those who are unhoused. Take care of those who are hungry around us. I would imagine that most of us are not in a place where we only have one cup of flour left. Maybe. Maybe we're not in that place, but we are in a place where we're going, I don't know, God. I don't know if I can be generous to that person. I don't know if I can serve that person who has need. I don't know. I mean, often we live in a place where we look at our own scarcity more than we look at our own abundance. And we say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And maybe you're at a place in your life where you haven't given anything recently to a charity of your choice, where you haven't given to the church, and you're saying, I can't because things are tight. And I get that, y'all. It makes complete sense to me. Yet I think the work that food pantries are doing right now is more important maybe than it's ever been. I think the work that your church is doing right now is more important maybe than it's ever been, literally saving lives. Bringing the last bit of flour and food to families who need it. And I wonder, what if God is asking you right now to be an unsung hero? What if God is asking you to be that person? What if there is an Elijah that's in your midst right now who is hungry, who is thirsty, who needs that resource? And you're saying, I just don't know. Maybe that's the person who's standing on the road when you drive to a store. And you bypass them and you say, I just can't help that person. Maybe you need to. Maybe Elijah is your church that needs you to be more generous. Maybe Elijah is the local shelter that needs you to reach out to provide additional food and resources. I don't know where you're called to be a widow of Zarephath right now. I don't know where that is for you, but here's what I do know. I do know there's an issue in our society and in our culture today, friends. There is need that is greater than the resources are providing for. Now, I want to have an honest moment with you right now. My honest moment is, I don't know if I could have done what she did. If I knew that my kids, if that was the last thing that I had for them, I don't know that I could have done what she did. Even if God had sat on my bed beside me, I think it would have been tough. I think I would have made excuses. And that's just me being honest with you. That's me being truthful. I think this issue is really one of trust. I think that's the truth. Perhaps I don't trust God in my times of scarcity. Perhaps I don't have enough obedience. Sure, my wife and I, we tithe to the church. We give to other charities. Almost every time someone calls us, we try to be generous to other things. We support those around us in need. But do we trust God enough to not have so much spare? Do we trust God enough to not have so much extra resources when God is calling us to do something? Susan Wunderink wrote an article. She's a swimming instructor, and she talked about the Sabbath swimming lesson. She said when she was a swimming instructor some time ago, she would be trying to teach people how to float. Anybody ever try to float in a pool? And she said, everyone can actually float. Some of you are like, no, I can't float. You can. She said, everyone can actually float. And the issue with floating is you have to rest and release your body. Let it just lay there. And she said she would put her hands under people and they would be floating. And she would say, I'm going to take my hands away in 3, 2, 1. And when I take my hands away, you just need to simply sit and lay there and you're going to be fine. And she said almost every single time when she would get to one, people who had been floating on their own because she just had her hands under them, when she took them away, they would flounder in the water. They would go down. And she said, it's this terrible, terrible thing when you're coaching swimming, when you know people have the skill, people have the resource to float, but they can't simply rest and trust that they can do it. I think this is such a fascinating illustration for the concept of trusting that God's got us. Trusting that the God of abundance will let us float and rest in who God is. God intends to make a swimmer out of all of us. God is teaching us to float, to rest. Yet so often I think we're sort of grappling for how do we get forward? How do we take care of all of the things that we need? And I wonder just maybe if some of you are missing out on being an unsung hero because we don't trust God. We don't trust the God of provision. We don't believe that God will actually provide for us. We're putting our resources in storehouses to stay for later and forgetting about them or even letting them rot when people in our community are dying of hunger. Maybe today God is calling you, calling me to step out in faith. Maybe God is calling us to do real, practical things. Perhaps God is calling you to sign up for our dinners at the shelter. Do you know we do dinner twice a month at the local shelter? Maybe God is calling you to sign up to make food, to serve dinner there. Maybe God is calling you to engage some of the folks who are guests there who are different from you and different from me. Maybe that's God's calling on your life. Maybe we're not giving our last cup of flour for that, but maybe it's an act of generosity. Maybe God is calling you to go and check out Volunteer Latin, which is the database that we have that talks about all the different serving opportunities in our local community that we partner with. And maybe you go, hey, that's hard. I'm kind of nervous to go my first time by myself. Maybe you just need to do it. Maybe God is calling you to do it. I'm kind of nervous because I don't know all the organizations. Maybe God's calling you to sign up. I don't know if I have time. Maybe you need to make time. Maybe the widow of Zarephath inside of you is pushing you to do something. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you're in a season of aimlessness. Maybe a season of wandering. Could this be a time for you to turn your face, to put your trust, whether you're there yet or not, in a God who wants to hold you, in a God who wants to walk with you, in a God who loves you, in a God who says, go, I will provide for you. I love the story of the widow. I guess we could surmise that without the widow, Elijah would not have made it. He's a powerful character in the story of the Bible. He's a powerful prophet. Yet I don't think there's a moment where he stands up in front of a group of people and names the widow of Zarephath and says, she was my hero. But she was. She was the one who brought life to him. I'd love to sit down with her, have a cup of tea, because I don't drink coffee. I'd love to sit down and have a cup of tea with her and say, tell me about that moment. What was that like for you to trust God with all of who you are? What was it like for you to put yourself there? I think she would respond, I think, based on reading this, I did it because it was the right thing to do. I did it because I needed to do it. I did it because I had to do it. Not had to because somebody told me, had to do it because that was what was going to give me life that day. I did it because he had need and I wanted to serve and I wanted to connect with him. Friends, what's the right thing that God is calling each of us to do? How is God calling us to respond? Listen, I'm probably reading a lot of the same stuff that you're reading. That aid is being cut in places. And it's real easy for me to get real angry about that. And it's real easy for me to get really frustrated that aid is not happening. But I wonder, what are we going to do about it? Has the church sat back too long and expected the government to take care of it? What are we going to do about it? Somebody this week posted, a friend of mine, somebody who I really respect, said every church should have a food pantry right now. And I said, I actually disagree with that. I think every church should support a food pantry that does it better than we do. We should not be creating food pantries in every church and doing it poorly. We should be supporting Food for Neighbors, and we should be supporting Loudoun Hunger Relief and other organizations and cornerstones around us. We should be putting energy there. We should be knocking on their door and saying, this might be one of the hardest times you've ever had as an organization, and we want to support you, and we want to connect with you, because people who are hungry should not be in our community in Loudoun County. Maybe that's the thing. I mean, it's real easy for me to make a post on Facebook and get frustrated that things aren't happening. What am I doing? How can I be? Look, I'm not trying to be a hero. I'm not trying to get my name on a wall. I'm not trying to get my name in lights. How can I be part of someone's story of healing and success? How can I walk with people in this world? And that's the question I want each of us to wrestle with today. How can we do that? How can we find ourselves in a place of generosity, either financially, generosity with our resources, generosity with our time? How can we find ourselves in that place to meet people who have need right where they are, to serve those needs? Somebody else posted this week, I saw on social media, many people are one catastrophe away from being the people that are guests of the shelter. Many people in this world. Friends, being the church does not mean that we wear t-shirts and put signs up outside. Being the church means that we go out and care for those who are unhoused, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, the prisoner, the immigrant, all of those folks in our community with the resources that we have. That's what it means to be the church. So I don't know how God is nudging you today. Jillian's going to come up and she's going to do a song for us. But I want you maybe to take a moment and to reflect, how can you be the widow of Zarephath? How can you be the widow of Zarephath in a way that when someone shows up, you don't have to have that on your name tag, but people know that's who you are? How can you be the person in the community that God sends people to, that God nudges people towards, without there being any sort of, hey, I'm the hero? You know, usually people that raise their hand and say they're the heroes, they're not really the heroes. We need more Julies in this world. We need more widows of Zarephath in this world. We need more of you using the gifts that you have. So as Jillian does this song, Be Okay, I want you to listen to the words. And I want you to think seriously, how might God be nudging you to be a more generous person? How might God be nudging you to wear the name tag without wearing the name tag? To use the flower that you have to bless others? May it be so. Thank you.
You're gonna be okay. Oh, the sun will keep on rising in that old familiar way. And every little thing is gonna be okay. Gonna be alright, darling. You're gonna be alright, 'cause the stars will keep on shining through the darkest night, and you can know you're gonna be alright. Lift your eyes to the hills, remember where your help from. Lift your eyes to the hills. You'll never face a valley alone. 'Cause even when your heart is breaking and you've gone and lost your way, you're gonna be okay.
Gonna be